I find it interesting how that things work together as far as messages go and songs go and how even Sunday school lessons and everything flows together. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Weeks ago, I was planning on preaching this message, and I'm sitting there going, Simon, you're kind of stealing a little bit of what I'm going to preach tonight. But I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And the message tonight is going to be very straightforward, is be a mighty. Be a mighty. You know, we have two choices to be mighty. We could be a mighty success for God, or we could be a mighty failure. And this passage talks about David's mighty men. There's a group of three, and another group of three, and a group of 30, and some people say it's just 33, and some people say it's 37. But these are all men that stood for David. These are all men that brought the kingdom in. These are all men that are remembered in Scripture for their mighty acts. I've often said that we will fulfill Scripture in a positive way or a negative way. I hope that we fulfill Scripture in a positive way. I hope that we will leave a legacy. Would we, if we were living in this time, be one of His mighty men? Would we, if we lived in the Old Testament times, would we be recognized in the Bible for our faith? Or would we, if our church was in the book of Acts, would we have been talked about like the churches at Ephesus or at Berea or at Thessalonica? Would we have been that? We serve the same God. But tonight I want to encourage us to be mighty. Be mighty in faith. Be mighty in grace. Be mighty in all the things that God tells us to be mighty in, because we serve a mighty God. And so, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, there is this list of names. And these are ones that came to David, and basically, as it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 10, their purpose was to do this. It says, "These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him and his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king." Folks, Paul said, he says, "I only want to know one thing, Jesus and him crucified. I want to know that you follow one God, God Jehovah. I want to know if you're following with all of your heart." See, we need to be mighty. It says, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. You know, the word of the Lord applies to us also. So would you be a mighty warrior? This morning we heard a message about someone who was nothing. Gideon. Being taken out of that. And because he knew the word of God, and because he was sent and he responded to the being commanded, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And he did a mighty thing. And the people that were going to kill him came and followed him. Folks, could that be us? When we look at these men tonight, you know, they weren't born into royalty. They weren't being like the Spartans. They weren't conditioned to do this. They were just ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So tonight I want to talk about three requirements to be a mighty, mighty person for God. And then, what could happen if you as a mighty person and other people as mighty people could work together to do something? So the first thing is, to be a mighty person for God, you need to pick up your weapon. You need to pick up the things that God has given you. And in verse 8 of 2 Samuel chapter 23. It says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachbonite that sat in the seat." So he's the chief of these because he sits in the seat, in the general seat over all of them. "Chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Isnite." And here's the key. "He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." Not instantaneously, but in one battle. In one battle. But you know something? He had to pick up his weapon. It said he lift up his spear against 800. So tonight we'll look at some of these meanings of these names. Tachbonite means that thou will make me wise. We've been going through Proverbs and we've been talking about wisdom. Wisdom is strength. Wisdom is understanding. Wisdom is knowing where you're going. Wisdom is doing what God tells you to do. And this man, who became a mighty man, he's the first listed in this list, was the one, "Thou shalt make me wise." Because he picked up his weapon. Two major things I want you to understand. We are given all the things we need in order to live a godly life. We're given everything that we need in order to wage spiritual warfare. But I guarantee one failure, Adino would have been a failure if he had never picked up his spear. Folks, we will be a failure for Christ if we don't pick up the Word of God. We will be a failure for Christ if we don't come to church. We will be a failure for Christ if we don't do what God commands us to do. We will be a failure for Christ if we don't witness. We will be a failure for Christ if we don't lift others up. We'll be a failure for Christ if we don't pray. Those are our weapons. We know in Ephesians chapter 6, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things. And then on in that chapter it says we're supposed to take on the what? The whole armor of God, and then the sword, which is the Word of God. And folks, a weapon is useless unless you pick it up. I just don't know why God's not doing anything in my life. You haven't picked up your weapon. You haven't answered the call. The second thing, our weapons are not physical because the warfare is spiritual. You know, yes, he used a spear. But the issue is, he used it as the hand of God directed him to. He used it as the will of God. He was in the right place at the right time. Now, I want us to contemplate this passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not physical weapons. But they're mighty through who? This morning we found out that Gideon was powerful because he had the Spirit of God. Because all power is given to Jesus. And he gives that power to us. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Tonight I want you to examine your life and say, is there any area in my life that I'm not surrendered to God? Because if that's, you haven't surrendered it, it's still a stronghold. God wants all of us, I mean, to go out and slay 800 people in a battle with your spear is an impressive thing. But folks, he had to be totally sold out to the warfare at hand. And so it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God." And then here's the key. "Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Folks, in this Christmas season, in this month where we reflect on the birth of Christ and what God gave us through a little babe in a manger, We need to bring everything into obedience to Him. We need to make a New Year's resolution or come up on one that I'm going to live for Christ more this year than I did the next year than I did this year. But I'll tell you, you want to be a success as a Christian, you've got to pick up your weapons. Or nothing will happen. Right? And if we don't pick up our weapons, we will be defeated. Because the enemy has weapons. And he will use them. And he will kill. Because he seeks whom he can devour. He seeks who he can destroy. And so Adino was known because he lifted up his spear and he killed 800. The weapon that he had, doesn't talk about bows and arrows, didn't talk about any of that stuff. It talks about a sword. Doesn't even talk about a sword. With a spear, he got 800 people in one battle. Folks, our weapons are mighty through God. He's given us all these things. And so the first thing, in order to be mighty for God, you've got to pick up a weapon. It's a simple request. It's a simple thing. But I know of a lot of Christians who don't do that. Don't be one of them. You're here tonight. You're not reading your word. Read it. If you're not praying, you need to pray. If you're not witnessing, you need to witness. It's not about jobs. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. So in order to be mighty to God, you need to pick up your weapon. Secondly, to be mighty for God, keep swinging. Keep swinging. In verses 9 and 10 of 2 Samuel, we are introduced to the second of these three mighty men. And it says that after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoh. Now, if you were the son of Dodo, that'd probably make you fight better, right? But the issue is, it says, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Oh, that's a sad, sad thing on Israel. But basically, he just kept on swinging. Until in the end, there was nothing to swing at. Think about that. Adino picked up the spear, and he was kept on spearing until there was no one left. And so Eleazar picked up the sword and just kept on fighting until there was no one left in the battle. Eleazar means God is helper. Folks, we can't fight these spiritual battles alone. We need the Holy Spirit. And you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And unless you're walking with Him. Now, to kind of understand this, you have to go to 1 Chronicles 11. And verses 13 and 14, it gives us a little bit more detail about this battle. It says, he, being Eleazar, was with David at Pasadenim. And there was when the Philistines were gathered together to battle, whom was a parcel of ground full of barley. And the people fled from before the Philistines. And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord saved them by a what? A great deliverance. Folks, God's not going to deliver until you pick up your weapon. God's not going to deliver unless you start putting some effort into your weapon. And folks, what we need to do, our warfare is continual. I mean, tomorrow there will be other spiritual challenges that we'll have to do. There are spiritual challenges today that we have to do. And folks, until God calls us out of here, either by death or by rapture, we've got to keep on swinging. We got to keep on swinging. So we find out from 1 Chronicles that this, when he's there and he's fighting with the sword, and he fights alongside the king. See, my Bible tells me that Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. He says, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And in this thing, he's fighting alongside King David, who is a type of Christ. You know what we need to do, folks? In order to be a mighty man or mighty woman for God, you've got to keep on swinging until the battle's finished. You've got to keep on swinging until the battle's finished. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, we can go back to Hebrews 11, which we preached on about a month ago, and talk about all those people that exercise faith. And one of those verses says that they waxed valiant in fight. Probably talking about these guys. But the issue is that we need to keep our faith. We need to grow our faith. We need to keep on swinging in faith until the battle's over. And the battle's not going to be over in this lifetime. The battle's over when we get redeemed. And the promise of Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this, but they that what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So if you want to be a mighty person for God, you need to pick up the weapon. And once you pick up the weapon, you need to keep swinging it until the battle's over. And then thirdly, what you need to do is stand your ground. There have been too many people that have compromised their testimony. We were talking today with Simeon at lunch. And if you know, in Australia, there's a pretty big church over there. And we talked about that and how that is working. And folks, Simeon's right. What they need to do is they need to have a church that disciples people. I want this church to disciple people. I want you to know how to read your Bible and study your Bible and pray and all those things. Because those are the weapons that we need to pick up. And we need to make disciples. And they need to make disciples. And that's how multiplication happens. But there's too many people that don't stand their ground. But this man did. So we see Aldino who picked up, he lifted up his spear. We see Eleazar who just kept on swinging until there was nobody else to swing against. And then we see after him was Shammah. In verses 11 and 12 it says, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together. You know, it's always the Philistines, isn't it? Those Philistines, they're always there. You know why? Because the Israelites didn't get rid of them in the first place. And folks, I guarantee you, if you don't get rid of enemies in your spiritual walk, they're going to keep on coming back. And you're going to have to keep on fighting them until they're subdued. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. This time they were organized. Where was a piece of ground full of lentils. Now we see that Eleazar was in barley. And we see that this is now full of lentils, okay? It's food. Remember about Gideon? He was doing what? He was threshing wheat in the middle of the night before the midnights would come. It's about your sustenance. Folks, people want to take away your spiritual sustenance. And where there's a ground full of lentils and the people fled from the Philistines. Boy, there's a common thing. It seems that the masses want to what? Flee. They want to take the easy way out. They want to think about about themselves and not about the battle. You'll never win by fleeing. And he stood in the midst of the ground and what? Defended it. No, Christ tells his disciples, he says, occupy till I come. How are we doing the occupation? Are we swinging? Are we lifting up our weapons? Are we doing this? And slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. See, that's the same way it worked with Gideon. And that's the same way it'll work with you. See, what we need to do is we need to let the Lord work in us. We need to let the Lord give us the weapons. We need to keep swinging in the Lord. Now, Shama means this. It's astonishment. The real thing here is that God can make you do things that you never believed that you could. Look at Gideon. He said, I can't do it. I'm just a nobody. Look at Paul. Look at all the examples that we have in God's Word. Why are we any different? We breathe air. We have flesh and blood. We have two legs. We do exactly the same way. We're still the same people. What made them different? What made these people different? They're in the Lord. They're warriors. But who's working the victory? Who's getting the credit? God is getting the credit. So, two things in order to stand your ground, Christian. Two things in order to be a mighty person for God. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Don't go and compromise what God's Word says. If God's Word says do it, you do it. If God's Word says don't do it, you don't do it. And if someone says, hey, I think it means this, no. What God's Word says. In Psalm 91, verse 7, it says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. We need people to stand alone. Like the three Hebrew children said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you. We're going to bow down. No matter if you throw us in first or not, we're not going to do it. Daniel, I know what the law says. I can't pray. I'm going to pray. Peter and John in the temple. You can't tell me not to preach Jesus anymore. We're going to obey God rather than man. And if you put us in prison, God will give you out. Through the doors. And they're not even open. And the guards don't even know. You can't threaten. But folks, so many of us right now are not standing our ground because people say we can't do things. Folks, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So stand your ground. Don't follow the crowd. But you know what, people, why people compromise today? It's because people don't understand the importance of holding spiritual ground. We're supposed to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. We're supposed to do all these things and bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says this. It says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Are you living by faith? Or keep on swinging? Have you picked up your weapon? Do you understand the Lord is fighting alongside of you? He's empowered you to do all those things. So in order to be a mighty person for God, would you follow the example of these three? Pick up your weapon. Keep swinging until the battle's done. And stand your ground. Amen. Stand your ground. Ephesians chapter 6, and having done all, what? To stand. And even after you're done with all, you're still standing. So, that's how you can be a mighty individual for God. But you know something? It's even greater when you can work together. It's even greater when you can work together. See, in order to work together, you need to be where you need to be. Now, there's some debate on whether these three were these three or some of the other 30. that are listed here. But most people think it's these three that did this, this action. And if we keep on going down to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, and it says, "And the three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time into the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim." See, David was fleeing from Saul, but he's also fleeing from the Philistines. He only has about 600 people following him. He's been anointed king, but everybody says, "No, that's not right. Saul is our king." And David was then in the hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And so the issue is these three went to where David was. Folks, in order to do things for God, you got to go where God is. It says, we cannot hear God, what God says, unless you're in His presence. You cannot do what God wants you to do unless you're in His presence. And so these three people are going to do this amazing thing here in a minute. Go to the king. And they find out something that the king wants. But I guarantee you, you can't do anything for God unless you come to Him. You can't do anything for God unless you're in presence. We won't be able to work together as a church unless we're all doing the same thing. We need to work together and basically be where you should be. And then the second thing is for a common goal. It's for a common goal. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, it says, "And David longed and said," okay, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Exclamation point. He's crying out. You know why? Because the Philistines, the enemy, is in the place that they shouldn't be. You know why? Because Israel didn't stand their ground. You know why? Because they didn't pick up the weapon. Because they fled. You know why? Because they weren't swinging. And folks, don't wait for someone to do something that you should be doing. "And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David." See, all David had to do was say it. He didn't go and ask them. He didn't beg them. He didn't pay them. He just said, "Oh, that I could get a drink from the well of Bethlehem." And they heard it, and they took action. Folks, this is full of all the things that God wants us to hear. And He just wants us to do it. And they heard it. And so they said, "No big deal. I don't care if the garrison of the Philistines down there. He wants it. He gets it." Folks, we need to live our life. The Lord wants it. He gets it. No matter how big the task we think, no matter how many of the enemy is out there around there, what God says to do, we ought to do. It said, "Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but he poured it out into the what? Lord." So they were where they should have been. Because if they weren't, they were back home, they hadn't been in David's presence, they wouldn't have heard him talk about this. And David's not. He's just saying it. He's lamenting. He says, you know why? Because it was a national sin. It was a national sin that the Philistines were in the camp. Folks, there's a national sin going on. And it's time for for people to stand up and hold our ground. And stand our ground. Because the goal is to do what? Glorify God. It's a common goal for all of us. And we should work together for that. Because that's the last thing. We need to work together to glorify God. In verse 17 it says, and he said this, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went to jeopardy of their life? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." See, they did something they weren't asked to do. They did something that other people wouldn't consider doing. But they did it for the king. Because the king wanted something.
And they loved it.
And they said, it's in our power to do this. And we're going to try. There's too many of us today who won't even try. We say it's too big. There's too many things out there. We can't do these things. Folks, if we work together. So you have this guy that slew 800 people. You have this person that just kept on whacking away until they were all gone. You had a person that was defending a piece of ground. And then God wrought a great victory. And then they decided to work together. And look at what they did. They went and they fought through an entire army to get water. Folks, there's people out there that need the water of life. And it's in Jesus' name. And we need to go and fight through all this stuff to show people this. And we need to pour ourselves out as a living sacrifice so those people can hear. For the glory of God. So we need to work together to glorify God. Said, so these things did these three mighty men. So tonight, are we mighty? Have we picked up our weapons? Or have we put them down? Have we said, I've had enough of this, I'm not going to swing anymore? Or we keep on swinging? Or is there something in our life that we've allowed to come in through either the television or radio or other people or friends that we have? And we've given up ground that God had before, and now we just allow Satan to take it. We can't be mighty that way. If we all get on that same page and we all start working together, look at what we could do. Folks, that's what our church is supposed to do. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. And Father, see what you want us to do. See what you want us to give to you. Help us, Lord, to have the courage, Lord, to fight and to stand fast and not stop. Renew our strength tonight. Help us, Lord, to fight the good fight. Lord, we give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name.